This is a special episode of Wikipedia Podden, which is a cut-down version of a live editing stream that was done on World Biodiversity Day with Siobhan, Leachman, Andra Wachmaster, and me, Jan Einarli. In this Wikipedia Podden episode, I'll let everybody introduce themselves, and then we will get a quick introduction to iNaturalist, a platform and community that is mentioned many times in this episode. After that, we will explore what a minimal viable species stub is. In the discussion, we are referring back to the edits about the stink bug we just made. I'll put the links to the articles in the show notes, and also the link to the entire stream if you would like to see us edit. And now, for the introductions.
But first, let me introduce Jan and Siobhan. Can you please introduce yourselves, and then we'll take it from there. Thank you.
Jan, do you want to start?
Okay, I can go start. So yeah, I'm Jan. I'm mostly active on Swedish Wikipedia, but also quite a lot on Wikidata in Commons.
Hi, I'm Siobhan, also known as Ambrosia10 on Wiki. I am very passionate about biodiversity. My passion project that I dabble in quite a bit is New Zealand endemic moths, but I do a lot of other things as well. And yeah, I mainly edit English Wikipedia, Wikidata, and Wikimedia Commons.
Yeah, and I'm Andra Wachmeister. I'm a biomedical informatician by training, but I bring this background into this sphere as well, but I'm active mainly on Wikidata and the English Wikipedia, and I'm a geek for trying to bring as much data and reuse the data into a Wikipedia article. iNaturalist is a really nice app, and I like it so much that it's on the back of my phone. And I really highly recommend to put an app on your phone. And it's like the Wikipedia community. It's a community of naturalist enthusiasts who just go out in nature and observe the biodiversity around us, which brings a really interesting use case because it's fun, it's amusement, but at the same time, it provides high quality metadata and images about biodiversity, which we can use in the Wikimedia ecosystem. Because within iNaturalist, they provide some quality assessments of the images, and then we can judge whether an image can be used in Wikipedia. So that's the workflow we typically use in this setting. We use iNaturalist content, move it to Wikimedia Commons, get the metadata from Wikidata, and sometimes explore other resources, but then go into the writing a Wikipedia article on the species with the ultimate aim to get every species on Earth described on Wikipedia.
Let's dive into this little thing about the stubs. And we talked about this before. We called it minimal viable species stub or something like that.
Yeah.
And we are all aware of that this is a matter of opinion to some degrees and that it varies across languages. But where do you lie on what is the minimum that you're accepting for yourself or that you're accepting from others?
Well, I showed you them for me.
Yeah.
My minimum has changed. And then it depends on the project. Like when I had a whole heap of New Zealand endemic moths, which were not in Wiki, and I wanted to have them there so that everyone could work on them, I did the minimum of the taxon box and one line. It is a species endemic to New Zealand. You know, species in the family, you know, it's one sentence, but it still has quite a bit of information in it, and then one reference, and then that was it. But then I've been going back and I've been expanding them out to C class at least articles. But it's, you know, I've been doing that for 5 years, I'm going to be keep doing it for another five, probably. There's hundreds of the things, so
yeah.
What about you, Andra?
I was thinking, so my minimum is my goal, but that is the goal we're also trying to do in the Wikimedia project biodiversity, is to get as much species covered as we can. So I would say I would try to get anything out there. And I would say my minimum amount is images, the info box, and the first line, and two references. And that's if I can't find two references. And so I typically start from an iNaturalist observation. So I have some workflows is where we where you use your iNaturalist, you just go out, whether it's in person or it's in user groups. And then there are pipelines that can show you which of the species lack a Wikipedia article. So I go from there. And then I have an image. So my minimal, but it's personal. My minimal personal page is we need an image and we need two references. And then from there, I go into GBIF, going to BHL, try to find this managed information. And then the line is species X is part of the genus Y, originally described or fully described by author X, and then two references.
So that's interesting about the image, because I don't. I tend to, because I have often problems finding images for certain species, particularly if they're not well covered or have only been described, you know, once and no one's looked at it again for 100 years. If there's no information in Wiki or on the internet in general or on iNaturalist, you know, you saw that blank page where it says, please help us do a Wikipedia article. What I do is on those ones, okay, it's not minimum because I am, the reason I write the Wikipedia article is to get it ingested into iNaturalist so that citizen scientists have some sort of idea, any sort of idea about what they might be looking at. And so sometimes it's just the original description. If I'm lucky, the original description will come with an illustration that's in the public domain. And then because a lot of New Zealand species article, species pages in iNaturalist have a, I know a publication is in the public domain that has heaps of illustrations, and I just added, like I did that manual one where I tried to force iNaturalist to do the article, I'll actually add illustrations in as the exemplar, curate the images, add the illustrations as the exemplar, and then I've got people I know who are moth fanatics in New Zealand, and they will use that to go and work out what they're actually looking at, and with people identifying it, and the Wikipedia article there with the links to the original description and the quotes and the original description, et cetera, then you can get the research grade quite high. And if the person's generous and has openly licensed, that's the round trip. You can grab the image that they've taken that is now research grade, stick it in Commons, and then put it on your article. So it's this lovely, you know, round trip of information. But again, that doesn't really deal with the minimum side of things because I'm not, when it comes to knowledge and trying to get extract and link stuff, I'm not a minimum person if I can at all avoid it. Yeah.
No, but it's okay. Maybe I should have said the workflow that I'm coming from. I'm pretty active on iNaturalist, and I have some pipelines that identifies which of my observations lacks Wikipedia articles, because maybe it's worth emphasizing again, you demonstrated it nicely. iNaturalist uses Wikipedia descriptions to describe the species. So there is this interest to get any observations you have covered. So there is like this loop of information. So since I started in 2017 using iNaturalist, and then my scripts now tell me that I have about, I think, in the hundreds of observations that lack Wikipedia articles. Mm. So then whenever I just touch one of them, it's starting from the image, going to the literature, and that's where I dare to push publish. So it's when I have this one line, these references, and the image.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not to say that if I don't have an image, but this is a personal opinion, I would be comfortable pushing publish if I have a bit more description. What's the information? Like the one you have put in. How can I recognize it? I would actually, maybe now thinking about it, would say if you don't have an image, at least have a description on there so people can identify which will lead to pictures, etc. So that is what I would say, but just a line, it's a taxon in the genus Y, originally described by Linnaeus in 1785, just making the point of that can be wrong. I don't think that's enough.
No.
So, but again, that's where I dare to push publish.
That's very interesting, Andra, because then how do you feel about this Swedish article that I had there that when we started today, it didn't have an image. It had a full taxa box. It had just a line. It's a species in this discovered by the wrong author. And it had five sources, I think, at least. So that was different. How do you feel about that level? Like no image, some content is very helpful and some is doubtful.
But you had 5 references.
Yeah.
So I think it's about accountability. My minimal is about what I would push in. I'm a data person. I'm not a taxonomist. Mm-hmm. I'm not a biologist. So I sometimes take some decisions that is out of scope of my own expertise. And then I really need to rely. And that doesn't mean that for everybody, there should be the decision what is considered to be the minimum.
Mm.
I would, to be fair or honest, I would say even my minimum requirement is I will be still uncomfortable pushing publish. I mean, I'm more in the range of what Siobhan just did, try to get as much information covered. But really, if I want to get something out there, to do some fishing expedition. There's a really nice script on Wikipedia, which is called User View, which gives you all the growth of an article for any article that you use. And it really shows that having a minimum page helps in attracting more information. However, yeah. I should say, I haven't looked in it. It doesn't always work like that. So I also have a lot of stubs that are out there for 3-4 years, which are still one-line stubs. So I still have to figure out, because I think the intention of a stub is to attract more collaboration. Yeah. I mean, it's not for the sake of getting, I have 2,000 new stubs. I mean, that shouldn't be the motivation. It's really about how do we get something out there so it's being found by other pipelines, by other users who might not agree or like the Swedish one and then can correct it. I mean, you already had, going back to your example, even if it's incorrect, it is found, and then you can correct that. Whereas if there wasn't a Swedish page, we don't have any directions. And the fact that you have, so maybe I should rephrase, we should have references, 2 references at minimum, and then I'm good with one line.
As you said, for people to find it and build upon it, we have a couple of nice examples from universities in Sweden where students have been working on mosses. And of course, mosses are not the kind of things that also people look at a lot. Like there's this unknown just thing that exists everywhere. But when we had these bot created articles on Swedish Wikipedia, it was super easy for the students to start writing. They didn't need to bother about the taxa box or the first references. They could get a framework to start it. And now we have 30 very nice, very well referenced articles about mosses after this class went through this. So
I don't mind stubs for that very reason, especially because creating a new article is actually quite a high skill level of knowing all the templates and what parts of Wiki do this and what parts of Wiki does that and what the talk page is. And when you're a new editor, it's all very overwhelming. And it's much easier to have the stub there, think, I can improve that. I can find one reference. You know, I can add something, add a sentence. Yeah. And and if you're worried about stubs, Andra, just do what I do and start doing species editathons and make your colleagues improve them and convince other people to come along, new editors to come along and improve them.
I think we also somehow touched upon it, like we used the word I dare publish, and if you're a new student and it's already published and you're just improving it, that's also a barrier that you don't need to, do I need to go out with something new? How will people react? Will it be deleted? No, here's something that's already existed, and it on Swedish Wikipedia, they've been around for well over 10 years now as stubs, so we're just longing for people to come improve them.
And there is another reason which I wasn't aware of, but if you're a new Wikipedian, you can't create, I don't know what the metric is, but you can't create new articles until you have done some edits. And I've run into this. So there's another reason to have these stubs is that you help newcomers who are knowledgeable on the topic to start contributing because they are not yet able to create new articles.
Yeah, but that's specific to English Wikipedia, right?
Is it? Yeah. Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, but that's okay. I think it's quite good to when you're new to have sort of like guide rails to teach you so that, because it is very overwhelming. If you try and do a new article, you end up with things that aren't right just because you don't know what template to use, for example. And it's, you know, they end up looking not so great, and then someone has to come along and clean it. If they at least have a go at learning how to edit, and then they, you know, you develop your skills, it won't take long. You know, doesn't, I can train someone up in half a day to do it, but it's nice if they're not confident as well a lot of the time as well. So it's just nice to be able to provide them with stuff to improve. And goodness knows we're not going to run out of stuff anytime soon.
Well, maybe one rabbit hole to open then is if we start comfortable, I think we all are, to raise, to create new wiki and new stubs. Let's take the example we now did. The original name, I already forgot it. But let's say there was a Wikipedia article of the original name as Linnaeus intended it. Now we ended up with two stubs. What are your opinions on that? Synonyms?
No. You do a redirect. If it accidentally happens, you transfer whatever was on the original name, whatever's useful, into the current name, and then you do a redirect. And if the name has changed, then you move the article. If you can, you move the article. You don't have two articles, one for one species concept and one for another species concept. You have an article for the current name, a synonyms list. Oh, gosh, I believe in synonym lists. So I went back and edit it so that there was a synonym there.
I would say that I was comfortable with that because sometimes
there is a nice example,
I think, by Treatment Bank that is going into T-Rex. And there you actually see that there are like 14 synonyms of... So what happens let me give you this theoretical case, which I think. So you have this workflow of synonyms that evolved over time. And there is now an accepted, and there is new research coming in that says, well, hold on, this should be actually forked into two species. So there is some view that. Yep. So how would you that? So then you
taxonomy. You know, there are disagreements left, right, and center.
Yeah.
And you basically, I tend to go to the wiki project. Has normal a wiki project for whatever species you're dealing with. I go to them and look at what the consensus is in the community as to where you should go to get the be-all and end-all taxonomy for something like this. If it hasn't done it in that whatever database or two databases that they've said, then I would put something in a section in the article to say, or in the taxonomy section, I would say there is currently, as at this date, citation, explaining what the problem or issue or debate is, referencing everything, and then just wait. A taxonomy will eventually sort itself out. It may take 100 years, but it will eventually sort itself out.
Yes.
And then once it all permeates down, and the be all and end all database / reference or whatever the wiki project consensus is, that's it adapts. Then I would do the two articles or the one article or whatever's been agreed on. Yeah.
And that's sort of the strength of the unstructuredness of Wikipedia, is that we can allow for any kind of special case that currently is the state of something, we can describe that in words so that it's readable for human and can understand, like, oh, the scientists are still debating this. And here's where the debate is ongoing.
Mm. Yeah, and it's going to happen a lot now. DNA is so much more prevalent and so much cheaper.
Yeah, it's currently happening all the time. I think that, like, their bird species moved across the field every day when they discover, oh no, these were not the same, or these were the same, or
that's a reflection of our own knowledge base. Yes, so okay, good. Now I will move articles moving forward.
Yeah, well, sometimes you get articles that have been moved once, and you've got to move them back, and that's when I have to run to the admins and say, here's all the references, you know. Or what I end up actually doing is put it on the talk page first. See if anyone is interested. Normally, no. And then if no one's interested, then I go and ask the admins to move it based on the current taxonomy. If it's been moved backwards and forwards.
All right. I think we sort of promised that sometime in the future we will look at maps and taxonomic ranges. But I don't think we will promise a date for that yet. But since the last episode was 3 years ago, we...
Hopefully the turnaround will be a bit better.
Yeah, maybe more than 3 years.
Game to make the Amazon Basin and the Guyana Shield as a topic, if we can do that. But then we can discuss that offline.
Yeah,
it's Let's been really awesome. Maybe it's also to wrap up. Also, do a shout out. So we have been really meticulously editing a Wikipedia article. We did it on purpose, completely manually. But we should also emphasize to those of the viewers who are intimidated by this that there are a ton of workflows, that there is like what Siobhan did with Wikidata. There are tools like OpenRevine and Quick Statements that really, really help to do this in batches. So if you have a list of 1,000 species that lacks Wikidata, don't go in like we did, but reach out and to the community. There is a Wikidata project biodiversity where we have a ton of pipelines. I also maintain some pipelines. I have some, which is also a shout out. If you change your license on iNaturalist, you're basically contributing to this as well, because you put your iNaturalist observations in there. So once you change the licenses, which I think is our own rant constantly, right, Siobhan? Just change your license to CC0, CC BY or CC BY SA. And if you do, people like Siobhan, Jan, and I, and we are with many more, can actually will reuse your photos into the Wikidata sphere. And I think that's about it. Anything we want to discuss? So thank you. And let's just say thanks. 3 years was way too long.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah.